Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is Mark 2:23-28 and 6:20-31-34. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grains. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful in the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was the high priest, and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' He said to them, 'Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them and going on and recognized them, as they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things."
How grateful are we for all of our worship leaders from all generations, and so thankful for Sean. We are grateful for your presence and your leadership. So our plan for August has been to focus on the theme of rest. And now we'll spill into the first week of September, thanks to Hurricane/Tropical Storm Hillary and an unplanned Sunday of rest last week. We've been taking our time examining different angles and aspects of rest, exploring how God intends rest to be a regular part of the rhythm of our lives. For a quick recap, we've talked about the commandment to remember the Sabbath, mindful of how central rest is in our Judeo-Christian faith tradition. It's right up there in the top 10 with some other really important things like not stealing and not killing. We've touched on the ways we are suffering personally and communally due to lack of balance and rest. We've named the fact that we struggle to make or take time for rest because it's countercultural. It goes against the grain of what society values most: busyness and productivity, exhaustion having become a peculiar badge of honor. In addition, we've talked about our struggle to embrace regular periods of rest because we're just not very good at it. Without practice, quiet and stillness feel too much like emptiness, which stirs our anxiety and can unsettle us to our core. So for these and possibly many other reasons, we resist the natural rhythms of our bodies, the spiritual rhythms to which we've been called, even when it drives us to the brink of what we can bear, to places where illness or breakdown become our unchosen road to rest. And then we stated what might seem obvious: God wants us to be happy and healthy and well-balanced. And not just at the end of our lives. We don't just aspire to peace and rest when we finally die. The intention is that we live into patterns of work and rest our whole lives long. So today we turn to two gospel texts to reflect on Jesus's words and practices around the Sabbath. And the first thing I want to lift up comes from our reading from Mark 6. Jesus said to his disciples, who had been in the center of large crowds and much activity, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." This was consistent with Jesus's pattern and practice throughout his life. Many times in Scripture, we hear of Jesus withdrawing to a quiet, deserted place, sometimes on his own and sometimes with his inner circle. We're reminded here and elsewhere that Jesus's compassion was so expansive that it embraced not only those who needed immediate care, sustenance, healing, hope, but it included the caregivers as well. Compassion was not just something Jesus gave to others. He also gave it to himself and those on his team. That's an essential and relevant word for us today. And second, this account and others like it remind us that Jesus didn't wait until everything was finished to take those times of rest. In fact, there were times when his baffled disciples must have looked around and wondered where he was going. "Hey, Jesus, there are still people here that need you." Yet Jesus, pulled by another voice, headed out for time away. He didn't announce where he was going. He didn't leave his cell phone number in case of emergency. He separated himself in order to rest and pray, in order to be renewed and restored for whatever was next. In the words of Wayne Muller in his book Sabbath, "Sabbath is not dependent upon our readiness to stop. We do not stop when we are finished. We stop because it is time to stop." What a wonderful invitation that is to me, perhaps to you, to many of us. We stop for periods of intentional, holy rest, not because we're at a good stopping point or because we're finished with the task at hand, but simply because it's time to stop, to breathe, to delight in the holy within and around us, to rest. The second piece I want to explore related to Jesus and the Sabbath is Jesus's run-ins with some of the religious authorities of his own tradition around activity that shouldn't take place on the Sabbath. There were a lot of rules about what one couldn't do on the Sabbath, which means there were a lot of no's. And the truth be told, many of us don't particularly like the word no. It feels negative, limiting, restrictive. But while most of us don't like to hear the word no, many of us do kind of like to say it, mostly to other people. No, 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 don't do that. Well, Jesus clashed with some of the religious leaders who had taken hold of something intended to be life-giving, the Sabbath, and squeeze some of the life out of it by grabbing onto those no's and holding on for dear life. And not just holding on, but using those no's as a measuring stick to assess the success or failure of others, keeping count of the times and ways others violated the rules. And in this passage from Mark and other places in the Gospels, Jesus turns us from this smaller, restricted notion of Sabbath, one that focuses intensively on the no's, back to Sabbath's true nature and its resounding yes. Jesus reiterated that humankind wasn't created to be in service to the rules of the Sabbath, but rather Sabbath and its rules were created by a loving God for the joy and peace and well-being of humankind. Because the no's of Sabbath aren't intended to be a burden or a measuring stick. They are intended to be a gift, enabling us to say no to some things in order to create space and freedom for other essential things, like time to delight in all that is holy, time to measure and count not the violations of others, but the blessings of life. Muller says during Sabbath, we stop counting, at least the things traditionally deemed valuable by our culture, our money, our wins, our power, our success, because life's sweetest things can't be easily measured or counted. In the same spirit as our anthem sung by the Voices of Praise this morning, and I thank you all for singing that beautiful piece, in that same spirit, Muller asks, how do we count friendship or laughter? How do we count the value of honesty or bread from the oven? How can we count the sunrise, the trusting clasp of a child's hand, a melody, a tear, a lover's touch? So many truly precious things grow only in the soil of time, he says, and we can only begin to know their value when we stop counting. The no's of Sabbath invite us to cut back, to focus in, to declutter our lives, if even for a moment or an hour or a day, in order to say a deeper yes to the holy by making room for profoundly meaningful aspects of life that need time and space to grow. Things like faith, friendship, wisdom, respect, love, courage, joy, honor, delight, and so much more. We have to say no at times to some things in order to make space for a holy yes to be able to bloom. At times, that even means saying no to some good things. There's a story in Muller's book about a woman named Frances. She said, I've been noticing what has to be simplified is the abundance in my life, all the opportunity. The metaphor for this is my garden. We have an abundance of growing vegetables. We planted turnips, carrots, radishes, lettuce, herbs, eggplant. They started growing riotously. I couldn't believe how you could plant seeds and then all this stuff would just come up with abandon. I knew I needed to thin those turnips and carrots, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I thought, maybe they'll grow anyway. So I never did thin or prune those turnips or carrots. They also never did grow. Not one turnip did I get, although there were tons of greens. So I've been reflecting on why I don't want to thin the things in my life that I need to. I just keep holding on for dear life. But those turnips are telling me what will happen if I don't create space for growth, space for life, space for spirit. The no's of Sabbath invite us to cut back, to focus in, to declutter and simplify our lives, if even for a moment or an hour or a day, in order to say a deeper yes to the holy. Adam is going to wrap up our series on rest next week, but the final thing I want to lift up about rest and the Sabbath is to circle back to the beginning and to say once again, rest is that important, not only for our individual wellness, but for the wellness of the world. Because most of us know when we're exhausted, unrested, out of balance, everything gets quickly on our last nerve, driving us at high speed to places of smallness and anger and volatility. And what the world needs now is not more smallness and anger and volatility. The world, quite desperately, needs love. In Muller's words, the world aches. The world aches for the generosity of well-rested people. It is not only our personal well-being that is at stake, it is the well-being of the world. If and when we honor and protect Sabbath rest, we will be better equipped and prepared, more open in heart and spirit to live into our calling to bear God's love in and to the world. We need that in our lives. Our world needs that too. So we've shared a ritual each Sunday in this series on rest. And the ritual I want to invite you to today is a ritual of thinning, something akin to thinning the turnips in the garden for the well-being of the garden as a whole. And you may find near you one of these little index cards. If you look around and grab one, if you don't have one, raise your hand and there someone will pass you one from another seat. And during our time of prayer, I encourage you to consider one thing that takes up energy or even just space in your life, but doesn't contribute to your well-being or the well-being of others. Something you might want to release. It might be an activity or an obligation, but it might just be a thing, a book that could be put in the little library outside, an app on your phone that you never use anymore, a pair of shoes that could be given to one who has none. And then I'll invite you to write that one thing down on your index card with the intention of trying to let it go, release it this week, and possibly choosing another thing to release next week, and so on. You're invited to put your card in the offering plate a little later in the service, and I'll pray for you and about those things this week. Or if you're more comfortable, you can take your card home with you as a reminder or encouragement. And if you're worshiping from home, you can write your one thing on a piece of paper or put it in the chat or on the friendship pad, and we'll add your item to the gathering of cards for prayer here. So let us sing our way into this time of prayer, opening our eyes, our ears, our hearts to the holy as we lean into fullness of life for ourselves, for one another, for God's whole beloved world. Amen. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, you have created us to delight in this life we've been given, and filled with your love, share that love with one another and your world. We confess that at times we are easily distracted by shiny objects and siren calls that tempt us in directions that are not ultimately life-giving for ourselves or others. Despite our best efforts, we get caught up and ensnared in deceptive messages of our culture that tell us over and over again that more is better, and that we are never quite enough. As we sit with your commandment to create and protect regular times of rest and renewal, help us to embrace the value of no, not as a tool or weapon to be used against another, but as a boundary a limit, creating the time and space that is necessary for deeper and more meaningful aspects of life to grow. Help us identify, today and throughout our days, things in our lives that need thinning or releasing, that we might know your love, peace, and joy more and more fully. Inspire us, O God, to listen for and live into your life-giving rhythms, not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of your world, a world that truly aches for the generosity and kindness and wisdom of well-rested people. The needs are so great. We see them right around us, and as we cast our gaze across and around the globe, center us in you, O God, that we might be well-grounded, nourished, renewed, and sustained for the work of love and compassion, peace, and justice to which you call us as the body of Christ in the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.